By most accounts, Michigan's economy is in the beginning stages of what will be a long road to recovery. When Governor Rick Snyder ran for office, a part of his plan for this recovery was to build a green infrastructure, a state where new and existing companies could expand and profit while providing a new and more energy sustainable environment. The governor's first year is complete and a new year has begun. It's a good time to reflect on the governor's record on the environment and look forward to what's ahead. I'm David Fair, and this is WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. It's a regular monthly series on the first Friday of each month. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Lisa, good morning and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, David. We have a very special guest with us today, Governor Snyder's Director of Strategy, Bill Rustem. Bill is an expert in the fields of water policy, urban development, and public policy related to land use. He has years of experience related to environmental protections in Michigan. He served as the environmental advisor to Michigan's conservation champion, Governor William Milliken, and was instrumental in the creation of the Natural Resources Trust Fund. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Glad to be here, Lisa.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Hi, David.
It is really an honor to have you with us on this first Friday of the new year. And what better timing than to discuss now the challenges and opportunities in the environmental and conservation arena that confront us as we step into 2012. But before we move there, I'd like to take a moment to thank you and the governor for the first gubernatorial veto, a veto that struck down a bill that many referred to as no stricter than federal. This would have tied the hands of the governor and his agencies to protect what the governor himself has called Michigan's unique profile. We certainly saw this as a victory for conservation. From your vantage point, what were the key highlights of 2011 under Governor Snyder's tenure?
Well, I think there were a lot of key highlights related specifically to putting the state on a new track. We had been, for the last decade, really putting together a budget with baling twine and duct tape, and that's over. We've taken care of a fundamental problem in the budget, which affected everything, our ability to spend for people having trouble, our ability to spend for people with that were interested in the environment. It was just a limiting factor in the state's ability to do anything to make the state better. So I think a fundamental issue, taking care of that budget problem once and for all, was key. The other key piece was the revision of the tax system to make it fairer for business people, for entrepreneurs, be attractive again to entrepreneurs, be they environmental entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in other industries, give them a place where they could be attracted to and build a business and build a future. So those were the principal highlights, getting a new foundation for Michigan in terms of dealing with its overall budget and its tax structure.
When you talk about those new jobs in the state of Michigan, particularly in the environmental realm, where are the green jobs? Were there green jobs created in the past year?
Oh, well, sure there were. All you got to do is look up at Saginaw and the solar industry up in that area of the state to understand that jobs are being created across the state as they relate to the environment. There are a lot of them. In green energy, there are also efforts underway in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan related to biomass and the future for biomass as a replacement for some of the coal burning that we do across the state right now. So there are a lot of opportunities in the energy arena and beyond that in the water arena as well. It's been a long time since Michigan has really taken a good hard look at where its infrastructure is as it relates to our municipal wastewater treatment systems, and it's time we took a look at that again, figured out ways in which to encourage greater spending and greater improvement in our municipal wastewater systems to protect all our rivers, all our lakes, and those great lakes that are so important to us.
And that's very important, and I know that Lisa wants to touch on that in specific, but I want to go back for a moment. You were talking about a new energy company, a solar power company that wanted to build in Saginaw. Back in 2009, the San Jose, California-based Global Watt Incorporated said it was going to create 500 new jobs when it would build the project, a $177 million solar panel factory in Saginaw. Well, that company has just announced that it is going to put that project on hold. The struggling economy and overseas markets reasons for the move, and says the company might reconsider, but only if the market expands in Michigan and across this part of the country. Do you have any kind of reaction to that?
Well, the market across Michigan and around the country is going to expand. I mean, I think we're at the bottom end of the trough that Michigan has been in for a decade and the country's been in for about 3 years. And we're going to improve. I mean, the new tax structure in Michigan is going to make a difference. Our ability to to balance a budget in a timely fashion is going to make a difference. I think you're going to see Michigan grow and prosper once again. And I'm confident that that company is going to reconsider down the road.
So Michigan's decision to offer less incentives and change the tax structure in Michigan, you think that's actually going to benefit and bring new and more jobs to the state?
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, you can't go about picking winners and losers. Government has never been very good at picking who wins and who loses in an economy. The economy itself, the marketplace, needs to determine that. Rather than doing that, creating a fair and equitable tax structure for everybody, for all businesses, getting rid of the double taxation that was occurring on entrepreneurs, and creating a fair tax structure for individuals that doesn't reward anybody on where they used to work or how old they are, but treats everybody equitably, is a key factor in making Michigan a fair state and the perception of Michigan then positive across the country and around the world.
I do have a question about water quality, but before I get there, I too would like to follow up on one question related to energy. Many across the state are very concerned about the increasing asthma rates and about the mercury levels in our waterways. We have fish consumption advisories on all of our lakes and streams. And while there have been a number of things to celebrate about Governor Snyder's decision-making in 2011, I think one of the biggest challenges or disappointments on the part of the environmental community has been related to the issuance of permits for coal-fired power plants, either new ones or ones that are going to be rehabbed. But recently, Consumers Energy canceled its plans to build a brand new plant in Bay City and is instead investing millions of dollars to build a wind farm in Mason County. Given this announcement and the DEQ's 2011 track record, what can you tell us about Governor Snyder's renewable energy policy in 2012?
Well, the governor is going to continue the policy that was set by the state several years ago, that for a goal of reaching 10% renewables, and then we'll reevaluate that issue down the road. But I think as it relates to the power plants, the coal-burning power plants that were approved, those processes were underway long before Governor Snyder took office, and the decisions that were made were the culmination, really, of a long-term process taking a look at where we were headed. I think overall you're seeing a change across the country in a look at how you do energy. Energy efficiency is becoming much more important than it used to be. Everybody's understanding, including Consumers Energy and including DTE and all the power companies, that efficiency is a way to reduce the necessity for additional load. And by reducing that necessity for additional load, it means you don't have to spend enormous amounts of capital to build new power plants. So the emphasis, I think, on efficiency is proving to be a benefit not just to the environment and not just to consumers, but to the companies themselves who don't have to make those investments. So I think we're seeing a big change in the way that everyone is looking at energy production. I think you're going to see that continue over time.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and you are listening to our First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and our guest by phone this morning is Bill Rustem, and Bill is Governor Rick Snyder's Director of Strategy.
As it relates to Michigan's water quality, we noted in early 2011, due to a Detroit Free Press report, that the city of Detroit alone dumped 37 million gallons of sewage into the Rouge and Detroit rivers over just the past 2 years. This not only contaminates our ecosystems in the urban rivers, but it goes right into Lake Erie, and it leads to recreational and health challenges like beach closures and E. coli levels that are on the rise. Unfortunately, this is not an isolated issue, as you know, and as our cash-strapped cities in Michigan struggle to maintain sewer infrastructures, how does Governor Snyder plan to make progress on this extraordinarily dirty and damaging problem?
Well, I think you'll see some things in the budget related to that specifically, Lisa, and part of the issue is, the voters approved almost a decade ago, or a little more than a decade ago, a clean water bond for Michigan to provide for specifically for dollars to invest in combined sewer overflows and correct those problems that exist out there. But for a number of years, the state hasn't taken any steps to sell those bonds, nor to put the money on the street and get it into the hands of the municipalities that can make a change. And as part of the budget this year, the governor's taken a good hard look at how we can accelerate expenditures in that area to ensure that we continue to make progress on dealing with those combined sewer overflows across the state. You know, it affects not just Detroit and southeast Michigan, but it's a big problem, as you know, in Saginaw Bay. It's a problem in all the bays of Michigan, and we have a lot of them because we're in the middle of the Great Lakes. So this is an issue that he's taken a good hard look at, and I think you'll see some things in the budget that relate to that specifically this year.
I'd like to turn to high-speed rail. This has been an issue that the governor has been very vocal on. He's spoken out on it. He joined last May U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood in announcing that Michigan will receive nearly $200 million in federal funding for high-speed rail upgrades. The governor has said that this will enhance not only our economy and our environment, but will improve life for all of our citizens. This is a two-part question for you, Bill. One is, what are the governor's plans for high-speed rail, given that the federal funding has been received? And two, how much will the governor's plans be impacted by news like that out of Troy 2 weeks ago, which basically was a rejection of $8.5 million in federal funds for a new transit center?
Well, let me take those questions in reverse order. The governor was very disappointed. As you know, Lisa, the governor had written a letter to the Troy City Council and asking them to approve that project. It's all federal dollars. There are no local dollars involved here. It's all federal dollars coming into Michigan to build a station in the city of Troy. And he was disappointed by that action. Now, we're taking a look at other alternatives for the expenditure of those dollars. We've actually already had a conversation with the secretary's office in Washington talking about what those alternatives might be. So that issue isn't dead yet, and we're not going to allow it to die because we need to have that station. We need to have that high-speed rail system. The Department of Transportation, Kirk Steudle, has done a great job in beginning to move forward on that, the improvements on the line from Kalamazoo to basically Dearborn, which were in dire straits, frankly. The speed had been lowered to about 35 miles an hour in some areas and needed to be upgraded if the system was going to be successful. And those dollars are going to be used to upgrade that system, that line from Dearborn to Kalamazoo, and that work's going to be starting here very, very shortly, and we're excited about the prospects. You know, this was a decision the governor himself made very, very quickly after Florida had turned down federal dollars. The governor said, "Well, we ought to take advantage of that. Let's get our system built up here in Michigan." And after having made an application, the department approved it very quickly, and we're proud of that. And high-speed rail is going to be a key component of Michigan's transportation future.
So with Troy being an example of one municipality making things difficult in this arena, what has the legislature done to either help or hinder the state's ability to move forward on these rail projects?
Well, the legislature has actually been pretty supportive in that they have appropriated the dollars and are moving forward. Now, there are certainly some in the legislature who don't think that high-speed rail is a good expenditure of dollars, but I think overall everyone, the majority of legislators understand that high-speed rail is an important component of Michigan's future. And if we're going to be successful, we got to have transportation routes that extend all the way from Halifax and Nova Scotia through Michigan all the way to Chicago and beyond to St. Louis. And that's what it's all about. You know, we're in a global economy now. We're in a global economy, and if we're going to compete in a global economy, we've got to open our state to the world, and that means providing high-speed rail. That means building a new bridge in downtown Detroit. That means a number of other things that will relate to opening up Michigan to the global economy, because that's where the competition is going to be, and that's where the opportunities are going to exist for Michigan's future.
Bill, one of the things that I'm sure is near and dear to your heart, as you helped craft it when you were in the Milliken administration, is the Natural Resources Trust Fund. And this is really at the heart of what Michigan is. And there are those now that believe that the legacy of that trust fund is in jeopardy, in specific and because of the Senate Bill 822 and SJRQ as well. It would fund logging and mining roads with money from the Natural Resources Trust Fund, and not a lot of folks happy about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Trust Fund has been a very good thing for Michigan, the Natural Resources Trust Fund. What it does is it dedicates revenues that the state receives from oil and gas or other mineral production on land, on mineral deposits that the state owns, oil and gas and other mineral deposits that the state owns. It says dollars when they come in to the state are to be used only for specific purposes, and that is to buy either entirely or to buy development rights on land or to invest in recreational opportunity. It's been an enormous success. I mean, I think one of the shining examples is Milliken State Park in downtown Detroit, where that trust fund and some private resources were used to really build a first-class park along the riverfront in Detroit. And if people haven't been there yet, they need to go see it because it's absolutely gorgeous. And that's a great example of the kind of opportunity that Natural Resource Trust Fund has brought to us. Fortunately, to make significant changes, you got to amend the Constitution if people want to make changes in where those dollars go. And that's not easy because you got to put it on the ballot. So I don't expect any significant changes in the way the Natural Resource Trust Fund is operated in the near-term future.
So that's just one example of what the legislature's been up to as it relates to land use issues. And I know that the governor has spoken out in ways similar to what you have just articulated in terms of the importance of the Natural Resources Trust Fund. But those bills will not go away. I expect them to be there again in this year. In addition, there's another piece of legislation that the conservation community has been incredibly wary of and worried about, which is known as the land cap bill, which seeks to limit the amount of public land that the DNR can acquire. Can you speak to Governor Snyder's position on this bill and how he plans to address this should it come to his desk?
Well, there are a lot of discussions underway in the legislature, and our office is in discussions with the legislature about that bill. I don't think that clearly, putting an absolute cap on land that is bought in Michigan is not a good way to go. I mean, we've got enormous challenges in our urban centers, and that park in downtown Detroit is just an example of what we can do in terms of using the Natural Resources Trust Fund and other funds, other sources of funds, to help rebuild our cities, which is key to the future of Michigan. So, to do a blanket cap and say you can't own any more land, and this might preclude the kind of opportunities that that riverfront park in downtown Detroit brought us. We ought to have the same kind of parks and the same kind of systems in all our major cities, in Lansing and in Grand Rapids and in Arbor and elsewhere. And expending those dollars to provide for recreational opportunity in our cities, I think, helps to bring those cities back. So I really believe that, this is going to be a long... There are always ideas that are brought forward in the legislature, and not all of them seem to see results. And this is one that, over time, I think is going to have to deserves a lot of discussion, a lot of debate, and we just can't preclude our ability to improve those cities through the use of dollars like the Natural Resources Trust Fund or other dollars.
Well, our time together is starting to wind down. As a final question, the governor is planning for and has a State of the State speech coming up. How prominent a role, or will it play a role, will the environment be in that address?
Well, the governor always talks about the importance of the Great Lakes, and he always talks about the importance of the environment and recreational opportunity as a way to rebuild Michigan. So I'm sure you're going to see it there again. And in addition, he's already said he's going to do a special message to the legislature on the environment and on energy sometime this year. So it's going to play a prominent role in his priorities for 2012.
Bill, thank you so much. We can't thank you enough for taking time out to talk with us.
All right. Glad to do it.
That is Bill Rustem. Mr. Rustem is Governor Rick Snyder's Director of Strategy. A thanks goes to my co-host as well. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, we'll see you in February.
I look forward to it. Many thanks to Bill for joining us today.
I'm David Fair. Thank you for joining us for this month's First Friday Focus on the Environment, an exclusive presentation of the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.